Everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me. As always, I am your host. My name is Tom Velasquez, wearing the tinfoil hat. This week, I am flying solo. Andrew had some previous arrangements that he could not get back in time for the show. I don't want to post the show at midnight tonight, so I had to record it flying solo. I hope I remember how to do it, but I think we'll be fine. Now, this week's show... Well, before I get into this week's show, let me talk briefly about last week's show. Last week's show was really, the numbers on it were all messed up. Normally, when I post a show, depending on what time of the day on Sunday it gets posted, I get a little bit of a spike on Sunday. Monday, I get a huge spike. Tuesday, I match that spike. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's a downhill slope. Well, come Wednesday this past week, I looked at the numbers on the show. And I told Andrew, I'm like, good Lord, we are over half of what we normally would be at this time. I think we chose the wrong topic. But the difference is, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday slide, it didn't happen. I had my little bit of a push on Sunday. Monday wasn't real good. Tuesday, about the same. And I was like, oh my God, this show's going to tank. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was a straight line across. It was, the show had legs to the point that this show that we produced last week that I thought was going to tank has turned out to be the most popular show since we have returned. Now, granted, it has only been 4 episodes, but you know what? The show in general is doing very well. Now, if you've listened since the return has started, you know that I had a musical podcast prior to this. And listen, this show is just blowing by any of the numbers that I had on that last show. And it's because I have listeners that have stuck with me for the long haul. I also think that the topic, the paranormal topic, is one that most people don't want to admit that they really are intrigued by and they will listen to. But it's a growing topic. Add the what I call the parapolitical aspect of the show, because everybody wants to hear politics for the most part. And you've got a recipe, I think, that just exudes successful regarding the show. Now, let's be honest, I don't enjoy talking politics. I really don't, especially now. You know, when the show first started, it started as a paranormal show and then just morphed into a political hit piece for the Democrats. I enjoyed it, but something happened in this country where there's just a lot of hatred and people just don't care anymore what they say to you. You know, one of the reasons I left the show was because of all the negative comments I was getting about my life and my personal life and things that I thought, this is ridiculous. That's why on this show, I want to focus more on the paranormal aspect of it, because I enjoy the paranormal. And I think a lot of you, even though you may not want to admit it, I think a lot of you enjoy it as well. But that doesn't mean I'm going to totally alienate the political side of my audience, because apparently a lot of people liked and listened to what I had to say regarding politics. But the show is doing well, so thank you for last week's show, but I have a favor for you to ask of you. I do a lot of networking with other podcasters. I go to some podcasting shows. I do a lot of networking via social media. And I'm noticing a trend, and it has to do with comments on your show and reviews on your show. I'm asking all of my listeners that are listening to this show right now, I don't care what platform you listen to this show. It can be Podbean, it can be Stitcher, it can be TuneIn Radio, it could be, what else is there? Google Play. Whatever platform you listen and wherever you go to listen to this podcast, do me a favor, take 5 minutes and just send a review out. I would hope it would be a good review, but just send a review out, because that is going to get the name of the Paranormal Patriot even more established. This show, for most podcasts, if you look at the results of this show, past and even present, is a very successful show. And it's because of my listeners. I get that. I understand that without you listening, I'm nothing. That's kind of where I was with the music podcast. I had listeners and I loved them. They were very, very fervent. They absolutely adored the show. They adored the music. And I made a lot of good friends from my listeners and also band members of the bands I focused on the show. But it's a different audience. And this is the audience I really, truly connect to. So regardless of what platform you listen, where you listen to the show, please just send a comment. Get a comment out there. Get the name out there. Go to the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook and Minds.com. Follow it. Like the page. Go to the Parapatriot on Twitter. Follow the page. Get the name of the Paranormal Patriot out there. I really have a lot of great things I want to do with this show, but I got to go that little bit more to get it to a level where I feel comfortable doing so. I can't do it alone, and I know, because you guys have done it in the past, that you guys are more than willing and more than able to make it happen. So comment, review, share, anything you think that will help this show, please, I'm asking you to do so. So with that being said, before I get into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got to give you some final thoughts on the Florida shooting. And the reason for that is I've had numerous emails sent to me and have heard so many people be for what I said, be against what I said. But first off, there are a lot of people, actually, I think way too many people, that are saying, oh my gosh, Tom, this is a false flag incident. I've said it before. I appreciate your fervor. I appreciate your commitment to the cause. But guys, not everything is a false flag incident. The Las Vegas shooting, I'll give you. Something's up with that. There are a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of things that do not add up regarding the Las Vegas shooting. Something has happened during that whole shooting that doesn't make sense. I'll give you. That may be, I don't know if it was a false flag, but there's a lot more going on than what we are being told. Sandy Hook, I get people saying that's a false flag. And look, I'll agree. There are some things that don't make sense. I remember watching it live, watching the cops run into the woods and bring somebody out of the woods that the media was saying was the second shooter. Then all of a sudden, you never heard anything again on it. But the fact remains that there at Sandy Hook and in Parkland, Florida, people lost their lives. Not everything is a false flag. Bad things, unfortunately, happen in this world. So I want to just put that out there. Not everything, and I do not believe that this was a false flag incident. But I was also told by numerous people, holy cow, Tom, you came back and you became a liberal. You changed your views on gun control.
Well,
first off, that's not true. I do believe that there's no reason that a 19-year-old young man, especially with this guy's sketchy history, should have been given access to a gun, should have been able to buy an AR-15. I'm assuming, I'm not 100% certain, but I'm assuming that there are waiting periods, background checks, that were missed on this. I have an issue with that. We have laws on the books to prevent people like this from getting these guns, but they're not being followed. This, in my opinion, this shooting is another example of the mental health epidemic that is plaguing our country. However, we keep glossing over the fact that most of these, if not all of these shootings, every shooter had mental issues, and they had red flags galore. Listen, if the FBI, the police, if they would have done their job prior to the shooting, it would have never happened. We wouldn't have lost 17 lives. We wouldn't have had 17 families devastated. This was a classic case of, hey, look at me, do what you should do, and at least detain me and let me know that you're watching me. That alone, I think, would have taken care of the situation. But he got away scot-free. Nobody ever bothered him, and he had free rein to do whatever he wanted. So we keep talking about how we need to get rid of guns, but nobody wants to talk about the mental health epidemic and the societal de-evolution issue that is plaguing this country. I've had conversations with people who use the Australia, the Canadian, and the UK argument that since gun control was established, there have been no mass shootings in those countries. That may or may not be the case, but my first counterpoint is that mass casualty events, they still occur in those countries. The killers simply use a different method of mayhem. And my second rebuttal is one I think is why we in America have more mass shootings than anybody else. And that's simply we as parents in America are failing. We are not raising our kids. We are not teaching them respect, responsibility, nor are we teaching them consequences. This past week, since the Florida shooting, not only has my children's school gone into lockdown, but I can think of four other schools just in my area. And look, I don't live in a big city, so I have little itty-bitty towns where those schools have been placed on secure lockdown. And why is that? It's because these students think it's cool to threaten, I'm going to shoot up this place, to post on social media, ooh, shooting day coming. They think it's cool. And why? Because they know that there's no consequence for their actions. At my kid's school last year, somebody brought in a gun. Now, thank God, it was just an airsoft gun. But at the time, look, these airsoft guns, you can make them look legit. I saw a picture of this gun, and you can't tell the difference between that gun and an actual firearm unless you're looking straight down the barrel as it's pointed at you. Not a good time to look at. So this kid goes around showing people this gun saying, I'm going to shoot this place up. They put the school on lockdown, suspended the kid for a week. That's it. That is the mentality that we have with these kids. Oh, you don't, they need their education, though. You can't be hard on him. He has his troubles. You know, show me a teenager that doesn't have troubles. You want to stop people from doing this? You want to stop our kids' schools from going on lockdown? You get these morons that go on social media, bring these guns, real or fake, to school. You get the feds involved, you get the police involved, and you send them to jail. Listen, that's a terrorist threat. If you have an Arab or a Muslim man threatening something, that's a terrorist threat. It's the same thing. You are threatening the children in my kids. You're threatening my children with death and violence. Don't coddle them. That's the whole point of why we are in the situation that we are. Again, we as parents are failing horribly. We don't teach our kids respect. We don't teach our kids responsibility, and we don't teach them consequences. That's why we have a whole generation of people like Antifa that don't get what they want, and the only means that they know to get something is violently, is to curse at you, is to assault you, is to demean you, degrade you, talk down to you. That's our fault as parents. We have not spent enough time with them to teach them, listen, you have your point of view. We get that. Let them have their point of view. Let's debate this. You don't bring a gun to school to debate it. When I was a kid, you had a beef with somebody, you did it with your fists. And 90% of the time after you were done fighting with him, he became your best friend. It's respect. I respect you now because you beat my butt or I beat your butt and you took it like a man. Our kids today don't have that. They don't understand that mentality. That's our solution to this problem. You can say, oh, well, Australia and Great Britain and Canada, they don't have this problem. You take away our guns, we're still going to have this problem until we teach our kids how to be young adults, how to be an adult, how to be responsible. We in America do not do a good job of that. I know, I talk to people from Canada. I talk to people from England, some from Australia. I have listeners from this show that listen, and I've talked to them about this. We don't do a good job of parenting because we don't have time for them. We're too busy working. We're too busy doing our own thing. We just hand them their video games. We hand them their phone. We hand them their tablet and say, hey, just go over there and do your thing. And we have no idea what these kids are doing. We need to stop and start being parents. Know what our kids are doing. Spend time in our children's lives. You're a parent. Be one. We need to talk about this mental health issue. Here's my solution. We tackle the mental health issue, and we find a way to get the youth of today to understand that life is full of consequences. You do something like this, you will have consequences. We need to teach them to be responsible and be respectful. Then, if the situation persists, once we've tackled all those, and that's not going to happen overnight, that's a generational thing, then we look at guns. Keep in mind that Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, they all took away firearms from its citizens and then went on to kill and slaughter millions of those citizens who were defenseless to resist because that government took away their right to defend themselves. Now, I'm not saying that our government is going to round us up and kill us when they take away our guns. But what I'm saying is the majority of the youth of today are pro-socialism and pro-communism. You look at every one of these mass governmental roundup in mass genocides, what do they have in common? They're all communist countries that basically took the citizens' means of defense, took it away from them so they can't defend themselves. They rounded them up and they killed them. In the future, I'm not saying it's going to happen now, but our future leaders are pro-communism and pro-socialism. Anti-constitution. They want your guns. At this rate, they're going to eventually get your guns, and we're going to turn into a communist socialist society. History has proven once you do that, that's when the genocide begins. Lastly, I want to say again, it seems like a common theme, shame, shame, shame on the media who are parading these children in front of the nation to promote their agenda. These kids that are demanding the abolishment of the Second Amendment are the same kids that are eating Tide Pods and texting and driving. There's a law against texting and driving. They constantly, because I see it all the time, are breaking it. They're all right with that. Well, Tom, that doesn't kill people. You don't think so? How many instances in the news do you see of a young teenager that is killed or has killed somebody else because they are texting? But there's no outrage. Oh, and by the way, Chicago, who has the toughest gun laws in the country, have had another 3 people murdered and 14 more people wounded by guns since Friday. And it's Sunday right now. 3 people murdered, 14 injured in a day and a half in the city with the most strict gun laws in the country. I'm sorry, did I miss that on the news? Because I didn't see that. All I see are these kids being paraded around and telling the president they're ashamed of him. Nobody says anything about that. Why? Because that's not part of the agenda. All right, I am done with Florida right now. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And when we come back, I'm going to play some audio for you of an encounter over the skies of the West Coast that happened in November of 2017. Some of you may have heard this. A lot of you may not have. It's interesting audio because the air traffic controllers that are witnessing this, they don't know what it is. The pilots, they don't know what it is. I want you to hear this. It's interesting and it's eye-opening. So sit back, relax, and open your mind, and we will be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. Through a wink and a smile, bit about I'm living, yes, I'm down. No more holding up the walls, we getting involved. Sprinklers going off, so steadily showing off. They're filling off the walls, I'm swinging back and forth, it's on. Join us September 21st and 22nd at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center, 100 Clearview Drive in Houghton Lake, Michigan, for the Michigan UFO Contact. Join us in Northern Michigan for an out-of-this-world event. Spend the day listening and learning from our special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFOs, sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and more. Also, be sure to shop our amazing vendor room for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and too many more things to list here on this promotion. All this will be taking place at the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Overlooking the largest inland lake in Michigan, this resort is full of windows, including a walkout balcony. This will be an educational and refreshing event. Do what I'm doing. Make a weekend out of it. Enjoy your time there. Spend some time at the Lakeside Resort. They can be reached at lakesideresortmi.com. Remember, September 21st and 22nd, 2018 at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. If you are interested in the UFO phenomenon, you need to go to this event. Tickets for this event can be purchased at michigan-ufo-con.ticketleap.com. Again, michigan-ufo-con.ticketleap.com. The Michigan UFO Contact is hosted by Para Expeditions and the Michigan UFO Contact. Again, if you are interested in UFOs in any way, shape, or form, you need to be there September 21st and 22nd at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, for the Michigan UFO Contest. Alrighty, we are back. Again, music, courtesy, Jamendo.com. If you like the music, go to Jamendo.com. Go to the Michigan UFO Contact. See me there. I will be there. I can't wait to see all of my listeners. I'd love for my listeners to show that when they hear something promoted on this show, they take action. It's going to be a great time. So if you are into the UFO phenomenon, you know that on December 18th, the first step of disclosure occurred. On that day, we found out that the Pentagon was secretly funding, and I'm talking millions and millions of dollars, and for years they were funding the research of aerial phenomenon and their threat against this country. Well, what some of you may not know is just prior to the disclosure on October 25th, 2017, there was an incident on the West Coast that we are just beginning to see the light of. Again, if you've heard this, I've listened to it numerous times. I can't get enough of it because I cannot believe what these people are going through. They have no idea what they're witnessing. If you haven't seen it, I want you to keep in mind while listening to this. First off, I want you to know, as an air traffic controller, you have to be steady. You have to be 72 degrees every second. You can't show any emotion. You're getting some emotion out of these people. So it is, they know. I don't understand what this thing is. The pilots that they're talking to, some of them say it looks like a plane. Some of them are saying, I have no idea what it is. I want you to listen to this tape. It is a great set of audio, but it's something we, as a civilian population, don't hear every day. How air traffic controllers and the FAA react to an unidentified object in the sky. So we're going to pick it up from the Seattle Center talking to the Oakland Center. This is the air traffic controllers, Seattle and Oakland, talking to each other. I want you to hear the one guy's reaction, because it speaks volumes.
Oakland 31, Seattle 13, AFRAC.
Oakland 31.
AFRAC number 155, Sierra Lima, level 43, so wrong way.
That's for, hey, do you know that target south of the boundary there, that 0027 code, moving very fast at 37,000?
Oh, look at that thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Huh, and you don't have anything on him, huh?
I got nothing.
Well, look.
WestJet 1698.
No, the WestJet 1698 is about, he is at 370, and that dude is, 150 miles to the north of him. Let me, I'll flash to that dam block. There you go. There's where WestJet is.
Okay, I see him up there. That's crazy. That's fast.
Yeah, all right, I'll report that.
Thanks, Senator.
Okay.
Whoa, look at that thing. That tells you right there that they're a little surprised at what they're seeing. They're seeing an object at 37,000 feet, which, ironically, is about where these passenger airplanes, these passenger jets, are flying. They're seeing this thing flying at incredible speeds through that altitude. They're not used to seeing that.
That's Oakland 31 or 36.
Well, I'm at.
This is Sector 36. We had a target come through our airspace going really fast at level 370 earlier, an intruder, MOTSI intruder, going southbound. And then now, apparently, the Southwest 4712 sees an aircraft off his right side about his 1 o'clock and 10 miles going northbound at 370. We don't have anything on radar anymore or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I just have my primaries on. I don't...
And we don't see any primaries or
anything
either.
But I will... Okay. Yeah.
Just to let you know, and our supervisors are calling all the appropriate people, so...
And, does he have any idea what kind of aircraft it is?
No, I've asked him, and he doesn't. He said it's about his 1 to 2 o'clock and 10 miles off his right side now. So.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe.
So, first off, it's going very fast. Secondly, they're not picking it up on radar. If you are an aircraft, you're going to be picked up on radar. This object at 37,000 feet, which is moving very fast, is not being picked up on radar. And then the pilot that sees this object 10 miles away. Now, keep in mind, when you're 37,000 feet up in the air, 10 miles away is really not that far. They have binoculars that they can look through. They can't identify this object that they're seeing outside of their window in their 1 o'clock position. So obviously they're calling it an intruder and they're getting their superiors involved.
Southwest 4712, Seattle.
Center, good evening, Southwest 4712, flight level 380, and we're watching that unknown aircraft at 1 o'clock.
Southwest 4712, Seattle Center, roger, and can you estimate the altitude, please?
Our best estimate is 370.
Thanks, sir.
So, flight 4712 visually sees what they call this unidentified object flying at 37,000 feet. They're at 38,000 feet. Again, this is cause for an alarm for an air traffic controller because this object is not registered. They can't pick it up on radar. They have no idea what its intentions are, on top of the fact that they have no idea what it is. They're in panic mode now because they want to make sure all of these aircraft flying at 30,000 feet are safe, and they can't guarantee that.
Airbridge Cargo 243, contact Oakland Center 119.97.
119.97 is a Airbridge Cargo 243.
And Southwest 4712, can you estimate the distance?
Yeah, our estimation is now between 12 and 15 miles, definitely further away than it was before. There are some clouds up there, so it's getting harder and harder to see it, but we still see the object there.
South 4712, roger. And you said you're 1 to 2 o'clock right now?
Yep, affirmative, between 1 and 2 o'clock.
Roger. Southwest 500, contact the Oakland Center, 119.97.
1997,
so we have this flight that sees what it's still calling an unidentified object. It is now apparently moving away from them. Again, they still have no idea what this object is.
United 612, Seattle.
Go ahead.
United 612, if you take a look out the right side, you're at 3 o'clock and maybe 5 to 10 miles for an airplane that may be northbound 370-ish.
Yeah, we got him. It's a white airplane. Yeah, about 10 miles away.
Yes, sir. Is he about a BMU overtaking?
Yeah, he's a BMU. It looks like he's slowly going a little bit away from
370-350. United 612, thank you. Keep a visual if you can. Let me know.
Roger.
So this United flight is the first instance of this craft being called an airplane. But now, a lot of people have said, well, hold on, Tom. There's a little suggestion going there because before, the air traffic controllers had no idea what it was. Then this guy says, do you see the airplane? The pilot then says, yep, I see the airplane over here. Was it a little suggestive? It could be, but I don't know if I'm a pilot and I see something that I can't identify. I could say, yeah, I see something, but it doesn't look like an airplane. I don't know. I wasn't there.
And, from Southwest 4712, it was starting to get really hard to see it, so he's definitely moving away from us. And can the United crew tell what kind of airplane it is?
Southwest 4712, appreciate the report. Yeah, they do have visual now. ahead of you about 20 miles, and I'm trying to get some more information, but thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Phoenix 612. It's just a white speck out there. I mean, we can see it, but there's no identification on it. It's just that it's there.
Falcon 900 Yankee, requesting lower.
I'm sorry, who's requesting lower?
Yankee.
Number 0 Yankee, defend pilot's discretion, maintain flight level 240.
Pilot's discretion to 240, Yankee.
Alaska 441, contact Seattle Center 132.07.
3207, Alaska 441.
So here we go. We have a pilot who's looking at this object and says, all I'm seeing, it's a white stick, and there are no identifying markers on this thing. Okay, what is it? Is it a white blob? Is it a white circular object? Is it an airplane, or is it a stick? There's no wings on this thing, apparently. What is it? Keep in mind that this thing was traveling at a very, very, very high rate of speed, enough that these air traffic controllers that have seen pretty much everything have taken notice.
At 612, can you estimate any altitude?
Yeah, it looks like he's probably about 4,000 or 5,000 feet above us.
Roger. Horizon 2484, contact Oakland Center, Christian at Seattle Center, 121.35.
121.35, Horizon 2484.
What's that for Jet 161-2135?
1514, 0 Yankee, has discretion, your control.
Thanks, Eddie.
Number 0 Yankee, contact Seattle Center 132.07.
3207, Yankee, thank you.
Redwood 1612, contacts Oakland Center 119.907.
1997, United 612, Seattle, good day.
United 612, negative. That was for a different aircraft. United 612, remain this frequency. United 612, Seattle. Oakland 36, Everett.
Unit Seattle, high tech 3672, 33.4, climbing 370.
High tech 3672, Seattle Center, Roger. Oakland 36,
Seattle Center. Was that a frequency change for United 612?
United 612, negatives. Tried to catch you before you left there. It was for a different aircraft. Remain this frequency.
Let's go. We're back.
United 612, if you can update me on just a couple more things, if you still have that aircraft in sight, on the relative velocity to you and the position now.
It's still a beam, so it must be going about the exact same speed as us, and just a very slight vector to the east from us, and like I said, about, 3,000 to 5,000 feet above.
United 612, Roger. You can't really estimate the distance then.
Yeah, he's probably still about 10 to 15 miles away. Unless I knew the size of the plane, it's hard to tell.
Understood. Thank you. Sky was 3478, Seattle.
3478.
Yes, sir. Just going to give you a traffic call because there's kind of an unusual situation. Traffic potentially at your 1 o'clock, 12 to 1 o'clock and 40 miles opposite directions, estimated between 350 and 370. We're not working that aircraft, and there's two pilots have spotted it visually northbound between 350 and 370, approximately between Crater Lake or just west of Crater Lake area.
All right, we'll keep an eye out, Scott. 3478.
United 612, contact Seattle Center 132.07 today. Thanks.
3207, United 612, see ya.
Sky was 3478. Based on the last known position, potentially it's your 1 to 2 o'clock in about 20 miles now.
3478.
47-12. We still have a visual on it. We'll call it 130 or so, probably about 20 miles.
Subs 47-12, thank you.
Yeah, maybe 2 o'clock.
SkyWest 34-78, maybe at your 2 o'clock in about 10 to 15 miles now.
Yeah, I think I have it inside, SkyWest 34-78.
SkyWest 34-78, you said you do have them inside?
Yes.
Okay, and if you can, give me an estimate, either on a type aircraft or an altitude.
Looks about level with us. And I'm not able to see a type.
Okay, just white in color?
Yeah, I can't even see that. I'm looking at the sun at him.
Okay, thanks.
So they still see this object. This pilot can see the object, but he cannot describe it. Now, granted, he is looking into the sun, but he can't see any identifying markers. He can't make it out as an airplane. Again, something is being seen above the skies of the West Coast that nobody at this point can identify.
Southwest 4712, do you see any traffic off your right side at about flight level 370, proceeding northbound about 5 to 10 miles?
We had the traffic until not too long ago, but we've lost contact with that traffic. And but the last time we saw it was more 15 to 20 miles away.
Off your right side, you said?
If I believe that's 2 o'clock.
Roger. A little while ago he did, I guess. Hi.
Hi.
I have the primaries up right now. I'm just looking to see if there's anything. He said he saw him a little while ago.
Yep.
He doesn't see him now, and... talk to the Wifey one.
Right.
Eyes are good over here.
Sounds good.
So again, we have a pilot confirming what he saw, but he can't come out and say, yeah, it was an airplane. It was a Delta flight. Nobody knows what it is. Now, I understand that there are some drug runners that use these planes, some jet planes, but they don't fly at 37,000 feet. They're not capable of doing it. What is this thing? And again, they're using their primaries, their radar, to try and get this thing to show up on radar, and it's not doing it.
25-8 Alaska, 37.
Compass 5699, contact Seattle Center 135.15.
3515, good day, Compass 5699.
South 4712, we lost contact. But earlier when we were watching him, it's estimated 36,000, 37,000 feet, but could possibly be 35 maybe.
Southwest 4712, thanks, and thank you. Southwest 4712, contact Seattle Center 125.8. Just let them know if you start to see anything, if you contact them again, please.
At 25-8, we'll let them know 4712 tonight.
So again, we've lost contact with this object. These aircraft or air traffic controllers are asking all these pilots, contact us if you have any contact with this, if you have any visual with this. We can't find it. So there is a lot of concern as to what the heck this thing is that these people are seeing that's not showing up on radar.
Unknown contact there at about 36,000 feet, but he's just going to keep an eye out for him in case he sees him again going northbound.
Alaska 525, speed heading 400.
Alaska 525, Seattle Center, 4246.
I'm just going to 1.
Alaska 525, that traffic was last seen at about your 2 o'clock and 20 miles from your current position. The pilot estimated it somewhere between 35 and 37,000 feet.
Roger, thanks. Hey, Seattle Compass 6023 out of 22 for
230.
Compass 6023, Seattle Center, climb maintain flight level 310.
Climb flight level 310, Compass 6023.
Compass 6023, at about your 10 o'clock and about 40 miles proceeding northbound, there was an aircraft reported somewhere between 35 and 37,000 feet. He's not talking to anybody, and I don't have any primary targets. Just keep an eye out, please.
Roger, we'll be close.
Compass 6023, just let me know if you see him. Again, he's proceeding northbound. He was estimated at between 35 and 37,000 feet, and as soon as I have you clear of his last known area, I'll have higher.
And he said he's at 10 o'clock?
It was about your 10 o'clock and about 40 miles was his last reported position proceeding northbound, so probably somewhere between 10, probably about 10 o'clock and about maybe 20 miles northbound.
All right, thank you. We'll keep an eye for him, and if we see him, we'll let you know.
Thank you. Alaska 525, contact Seattle Center 125.8. Just let the next controller know if you see that aircraft at all.
25-8, Alaska 525.
Hi.
CSAT, open it up.
I said the room's over there, special activity. This, he last reported him when he was back here at about his 10 o'clock, or actually about his 2 o'clock, 20 miles, which would put him right in here. He was going to try to give me an estimate, but then he lost contact on his altitude, or lost contact on, so he said he was somewhere between 35 and 37 feet. So that's why I stopped him low, just to make sure in case he's descending or something like that. I pulled up the primaries just to see if we got any hits on him, but there's no primary targets on it. Aircraft are just reporting that they're seeing somebody out there. And possibly, actually, I think they're about to scramble, and everything else is good. That's all I got.
All right, Debbie.
439, Senator.
439, go ahead.
Alaska 439, just verify, so level 360.
We're level at 360, and the previous controller did tell us about a stray out this way from our position.
Alaska 439, yes. Last reported position was at about your 9 o'clock and about 30 miles west of your position, proceeding northbound in the altitudes between somewhere 35 to 37,000 feet.
Okay, and it was only picked up visually then? You guys aren't seeing them?
Affirmative. I have my primary targets up, and there's no primary targets on it and no beacon code.
Okay, thank you.
Alaska 439, the center panel's discretion maintained flight level 300. Again, his last reported altitude was between 35 and 37, so I guess I'd rather have you underneath him in case he is still flying around out there.
Okay, discretion of 300. We'll start down now, Alaska 439.
Thanks.
So there's obviously some concern because they have no idea what this object is. They have no idea what its intentions are, and they cannot contact it. So they are actually diverting the flight path and the altitude of some of these airlines. Now, I hope you noticed, about the middle of that track, the young lady says, I think they're ready to scramble. They are scrambling fighter jets to intercept whatever it is that is flying out in this airspace. Again, keep in mind that these are air traffic controllers that have seen everything, but they still are very concerned and they have no idea what the heck they're dealing with right now.
Compass 6023, do you mind doing a TCAS check to see if you see any targets out there on your TCAS?
We'll do that. Compass 6023.
Thanks. Alaska 439, do you mind doing a TCAS check just to see if you see any targets out to your left?
Yeah, we don't see anybody out there right now.
Alaska 439, thank you. Horizon 2453, contact Seattle Center 135.15.
3515, get her at 2453. And, at our Compass 6023, we don't show anything. The only thing is somebody at 7 o'clock, 40 miles, 6,000 above us, but I think that's the Alaska.
Compass 6023, affirmative, that checks climb maintain flight level 350 now.
Climb 350, Compass 6023.
Redwood 1755, would you mind looking at your TCAS and letting me know if you see anybody at about your 10 o'clock or so and about 30 miles. I have one Alaska that's descending out of 336 to 300. Let me know if you see anybody else.
No, we don't. We don't have anybody within 30 miles or even 50.
Thank you. see anybody at about your 9 o'clock or so in about the next 50 miles. I do have one aircraft that's climbing out of 30.4 for 35, and just let me know if you see anybody else, please.
No, ma'am, we've got nothing.
Alaska 322, thanks. Contact Seattle Center 135.15.
3515, that's 322.
Okay, thanks, Seattle Center. Redwood 1948, flight level 230.
Redwood 1948, Seattle Center, climbing team, flight level 350.
Climbing team, flight level 350, Redwood 1948.
Yeah, Alaska 439.
Alaska 439, go.
Yeah, have you painted any primary radar on this guy, or what's the intel?
The intel that we've got is we haven't seen any primary targets. We're just getting reports from pilots that are seeing him, and we don't have any beacon codes on him or anything like that. So basically, it's kind of like a stealth mode or something. Alaska 439, can you do one more check again, please? I've got a 737 leaving 14.5, climbing to 23 right now, and a couple fighters coming out southbound. Let me know if you see anything else from about your 9 o'clock to your 12 o'clock.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's right into the sun. We don't see anything on TCAS right now.
Thank you.
So they've deployed fighters. They've sent fighter jets out to look for this thing. And just as a side note, they never found anything. Is it a UFO? Am I going to sit behind this microphone and tell you this is definitive proof that we are being visited by an unknown alien race? No. Because it could have been a drug running Learjet. But again, Learjets don't travel at 30,000 or 37,000 feet. And when a Learjet crosses your radar screen, you don't have people going, "Whoa, take a look at that." There's a lot of unknowns here. Now keep in mind, this is an unknown, unidentified flying object. Nobody knows what it is. We still, as of this day, have no idea what these air traffic controllers were seeing. You got to hand it to them. They held out. They didn't go crazy. They were very professional. But that's their job. And they did it well. We may never know what the heck happened on October 25th, 2017 over the skies of Oregon and the West Coast. But the fact that we now know as of December 18th, 2017 that our government has been secretly researching UFOs, we know that there is a concern. Obviously, the air traffic controllers that were dealing with this episode were very concerned, and you can tell by their demeanor and their voices and their actions that this is something that they don't see every day. And again, they see this stuff every day. They see things that they can't explain. They see the worst of the worst. They see plane crashes. They see near misses. When they are scrambling jets, when they are calling out to the aircraft saying, "Hey, come on, give me something. Do you see anything? I need you to keep an eye out. I'm a little concerned." You know something's going on. Yes, the tensions around the world are high. It could have been a Russian, Korean, whatever plane. But again, 37,000 feet is the altitude. And it was moving at a speed that made one air traffic controller step back and say, "Whoa, we better look at this and report it." Again, I'm not saying that this is something that is absolutely, unequivocally extraterrestrial. I'm going to chalk it up to an unidentified flying object. Maybe our friends at the Michigan UFO Contact will be able to shed some light on this. So if you have been listening to this and you have an idea of what's going on, contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. You can contact me at the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook and Minds.com, as well as the Parapatriot on Twitter. Again, I don't care how you contact me. Just get a hold of me. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know any show ideas that you would like to hear from. And most of all, thank you. Thank you for listening. Continue to share the show. Let's take this show to the next level. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate everything you have done. Again, if you're in the Michigan area, book a room. Go to the Michigan UFO Contact, September 21st and 22nd, 2018. It is going to be a phenomenal event. I will be there. You can meet me. I would love to meet you. Plus, you can get some insight on where the field of ufology is going right now, as well as all of the encounters happening in and around the state of Michigan. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. We will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening.
Make haste, angry subjects, let's be the revolt. If we can't do so in public, smash our screens in the Gulf. Come out from your dungeons, feel the sun on your face. You can't hide behind your comments, you must see this place. Let's not destroy it, don't clean the pace. Slow down, I'm thinking, infect the race. All the hated fetters, don't leave a trace. Children will love, if it's in the grace. The light can win, consume our face. Complacent in our pleasure, and we cannot be late. I hasten all your clever, and you move to a place. All emotions that are stagnant, so we can all embrace. Princess, for